of heights to the depths of the sea.
When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes, notice, followed him. And behold, a leper came. A leper came and worshipped him. Not a leprechaun. A leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice this man's faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. So as long as God is willing, the man knew it could be done. Do you believe that, though?
Uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In the ancient world, leprosy was a terrible destructive disease, and still is in some parts of the world. The ancient leper had no hope of improvement, so this leper came to Jesus with a great sense of need and desperation. Despite his desperate condition, this man not only begged Jesus, he also worshipped him. The leper had no doubt whatsoever about the ability of Jesus to heal. His only question was if Jesus was willing to heal. Jesus was, and he didn't have to touch the leper in order to heal him. He could have healed him with a word or even a thought. Yet he healed the leper with a touch because that's what the leper needed. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's lesson.
Beneficiary of impact. Right? Mystery of mysteries, but here he stands before the woman, and he heals them, and so yes. And then what is the result of that? People give glory to God. They don't give glory to anything else, no one else but God himself. And see, that is when God is working. When no one's speaking of, oh, he's such a great pastor, he's a great preacher, they're a great worship team, whatever it may be, whoever it is, great television evangelist, and then who gets the credit? It's them. But when God is moving, people think about God. They think about Jesus. They don't think about the vessel, or at least they shouldn't too much. I mean, yes, a person is standing in front of you, but who really deserves the credit and the glory? It's Jesus. He deserves the credit. He deserves the praise. But did God heal the beloved Paul the Apostle? One of the most incredible men in all of history. One of the most brilliant men in all of history. Scholars believe that God was a genius. And God had to reduce him. Because God knew what was in him, and we might not even know exactly what it was. Could it have been pride? Could it have been because of Paul's pedigree and growing up under the feet of Gamaliel, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin? You know, the list keeps going, and just all these wonderful things about him. His resume looked great, and he's like, well, of course, I am all that, and actually much more. If you'd be willing to stick around, I can share with you how great I really am. But God says, no, I'm going to do something in Paul's life. I'm going to reduce him. We don't know why that is. Could it have been because his heart might have been filled with pride? I think anything is possible. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians? And lest I should be exalted, this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, notice, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, and it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Perhaps that's the reason. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you kidding me, Lord? All that I've done for you, and I've got this issue, and if I didn't have this thing, I could be even more effective for you. I could go into more towns. I could be doing a lot more things, but now I'm restricted, and then I'm going to be put in prison? And then I got to write letters. Please. To Titus. And yet, those books are with us. Those letters are with us today. And God's going, Paul, you don't understand. You're my servant. That means I've got a plan for your life. My life no longer belongs to me. Wasn't that the deal when we gave our heart to Christ? My life no longer belongs to me. He allows us wonderful things and blessings, but it no longer belongs to me because he purchased me on the cross at Calvary. My life belongs to him now. And it's my reasonable service to give all of me to him, right? It's reasonable. If he saved me from eternal damnation, and he did, think of that, folks. Eternal, he saved us, all of us, from eternal hell forever. And we get the opposite because of what he did on the cross. That's the best deal going. I don't know why all of these chairs aren't completely filled. I don't know why that fellowship hall is not completely filled with people going, tell me more of this great news. Oh, I'm so glad you're here because I want to tell you. To tell you of the truth, because you're not going to get it anywhere else. You get the truth, this truth, the truth of the Word of God, you get here and probably not a whole lot of other places. How important is it? My grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, Paul says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For my sake? No, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, my goodness. I'm hoping I can learn more of that. There's people, brothers and sisters in our own fellowship that are going through it right now. Steve Spisano is another one. Going through very difficult things and love to encourage him the best I can. And there's a group of men that were texting him and talking to him, encouraging him in this process that he's going through. And it's not pretty. Pray for Steve. He's discouraged, but he's a wonderful man. But like you and I, he's prone to the devil whispering in our ears, you know, you're just not good enough. Because of what you did back in the 70s, God can never forgive you of that. Well, that's nonsense because God can, and he has. He has, because I know Steve has confessed everything he can think of. And so should we. And then we need to leave it there under the blood of Christ and no longer go back to the grave clothes of that old life and start sifting through it again, trying to find a reason why I've got this now. Follow me? Don't we do that? God has forgiven us and he's taken away all that stuff, but we have this propensity to go back into the dunghill and start digging through stuff going, oh, but back in, you know, 73, I did this horrible thing with cocaine and marijuana and I listened to Deep Purple and I had the lava lamp and everything else. And now look at me and it's because of that. I know it. And God's going, no, I've already forgiven you about that. Why are you staying there? Move on. It's time to move on. Nothing to see here. Move on. Right? That's the truth. Don't go back once you've confessed your sin and all those things. Don't look back. Go forward in Christ. No longer let those grave clothes hang on to you. Old things. Behold, all things are new in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation now. You're not that old scoundrel. Amen? Yes. Trust the Lord when you are sick, and even when you're well, because God may be glorified in your malady. Just given time, and if it's his will, he's going to do it. So let's get into verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes, notice, followed him. And behold, a leper came. A leper came and worshipped him. Not a leprechaun. A leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice this man's faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. So as long as God is willing, the man knew it could be done. Do you believe that, though? Yes. I'm so glad that somebody just blurted it out. Just no hesitation, no filter. Yes, it's true. You can believe that. If it's his will, it's done. And it may not happen instantaneously. It may be a steady healing. It may be an immediate healing. The healing for us believers may be when the Lord takes us home because he's ultimately going to heal us. And I don't know about you, but I'm no longer afraid of death. Amen. I'm afraid of the process. I'm not looking forward to the process. I mean, my idea of going home to be with the Lord is like the day after Thanksgiving. You know, after I've filled my stomach with pumpkin pie and all these goodies and cakes and cookies and pies and a nice warm bed, and then just in the middle of the night, and I'm with the Lord. You know, Dallas wins in the game. You know, I know there's some people here who don't bear witness to that. I'm not looking forward to the process, but I'm not afraid of death. I know where I'm going. Because of all that he has done, nothing of me, because if it were up to me, I'd be burning in hell. And let me just put it out there, because hell is real. But notice this man, his faith, if you are willing, you can. And I think Jesus was just smiling at this man. Like, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Do you believe it? How many times my wife and I prayed for her type 1 diabetes. I remember when it was a year after we had gotten married, she discovered she had juvenile diabetes one day. All of a sudden, all these symptoms started happening, and sure enough, she goes to the doctor, and we find out that she's a type 1 diabetic. Her pancreas just stopped producing insulin. And so now she's got to wear this pump that gives her insulin. And I remember how many times we prayed for that. And still do at times, but as time goes along, I'm just like, Lord, there's a reason that you've allowed her to have this. I don't get it. I don't like it. And certainly she doesn't like it, how it's inconvenienced her life so many times. I don't know why God hasn't healed her, but has it stumbled our faith? Has it stumbled her faith? No. Were there times where it put a dent in it? Maybe. But real faith also means accepting whatever lot God gives to us. Lord, why did you heal her and not me? I give more to the church than she does. You know, I go to prayer in the meeting and I give to the poor. And so often when we're sick, we have a malady of some kind. All we can think about is ourselves, and we don't understand what God is doing in us. And also we might not understand what that illness is doing in the life of somebody else, how it might be encouraging them about how we are dealing with it. I love what it says in Ephesians 5. This is one of my favorite verses of all time. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. The idea is carefully or diligently, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walking circumspectly to me is a wonderful phrase, because what does circum mean? It means around. And what does spect mean? It means sight. So I'm aware of my surroundings. That's the idea. When I'm aware of my surroundings, I'm walking carefully and I'm walking diligently. I'm seeing myself everywhere that I'm at. If I'm aware of my surroundings, where I am, who's around me, and how I'm responding to everything around me, I'm walking more circumspect than not. But whether you like it or not, family, we are living in a fishbowl, are we not? People are looking at us. Yes, the Lord causes the sun to shine on the evil and on the good. He causes the rain to fall on the evil, or the just and the unjust. Some of the things that your neighbors are going through as unbelievers are same things that you are going through. It doesn't mean that you're exempt from those things. And they're wondering, they're watching. You're the believer, how are you dealing with this? Then Jesus put out his hand, verse 3, and he touched him. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Leprosy was believed at the time to be highly contagious and even hereditary, but passages in the Bible signify that might not be that leprosy might not have been as highly contagious as first thought, because the priest in Leviticus 13 had to examine the person, and if they were highly contagious, the priest would probably do it through some kind of, you know, remote camera with a drone or something, but he wouldn't be there, you know, inspecting the person and looking at them. The disease begins on the skin. It infects inward to the bones, decaying the whole body little by little, causing deformity, like with Hansen's disease, which is the most extreme part of or form of leprosy, even to the loss of the extremities, the loss of feeling in the extremities, causing those extremities, because there's no blood flow now for those extremities to start falling off or being deformed. Either way, having leprosy was a life of separation and loneliness. We know that in Leviticus 13, it says, "The leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' And he shall be unclean. All the days that he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. And his dwelling shall be outside the camp." They would have leper colonies if there were more than one person with leprosy. So it was a life of loneliness. And yet Jesus would walk up to this man and say, "I will be cleansed." Perhaps nobody has touched him, even his own family. Think of that. You know, someone who has never, you know, has maybe had leprosy for some time, and everyone's kind of like staying away from them and not wanting to get close to them because they didn't know the things that we know today. And Jesus just walks up, touches him. Can you imagine the crowd gasping? "Can't believe he touched him." And Jesus is looking around. "What's the problem? I'm able to heal. I am willing. Be cleansed." No different, those words, than the words in Genesis chapter 1. "And God said, 'Let there be light.'" Amen. "I will be cleansed" is no different than when he said, "And let there be livestock and all the birds of the fowl of the air and the waters teeming with all kinds of intricate animals that we can't even, we study them, we don't even know half of it. We're just like, there's these animals down in the Marianas Trench that have never seen the light of day, and they're so designed so wonderfully and they got such intricacy, and yet nobody sees them. And now we're just getting pictures of them, and God's going, 'Yeah, I made that too. Nobody's seen it until now. What do you think? Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, I did that.'" And there's many other things that God has done that we're still scratching our heads or haven't even discovered. And I love that about him. "But I am willing, be thou cleansed." I love that. And Jesus, verse 4, said to him, "See that you tell no one, but notice, go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." See, Jesus wanted the man to go see the priest first. Why? Because no Israelite, Naaman in 2 Kings 5 was a Gentile, but no Israelite had been cleansed of leprosy except for Miriam in Numbers, right? I think it's Numbers 12 where she was... Numbers 12, Miriam, because of her rebellion, came down with leprosy, and the Lord healed her after Moses interceded for his sister. But that's the only time biblically where an Israelite was healed of leprosy. So now when this happens, it's stirred up quite a group of people. It stirred everybody up. And they're wondering, who is this? And notice, Jesus sent them to the priest. Why the priest? For that very reason. Because the priest would be the one to realize this has never happened before. This has never happened. Never seen this before. And wasn't that a proof? Wasn't that a proof positive to the religious leaders, to the priests? The Messiah is in your midst. He is in your midst. And folks, do you know that the Messiah is in our midst as well? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's never left us. He's not going to leave you in your time of despair, your time of need. Is it going to be tough? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it may be really tough. He never promised us a rose garden. Well, actually, he did. But on this earth, we're going to go through difficulties. But yes, he has promised us eternal life. Don't get me wrong. But while we are on this earth, on terra firma, we're going to go through difficulties. We're going to experience difficult things, things that are just going to wrench us. And what does that do? See, what it does is it produces in me two responses. One is that I just get angry with God, and I just say, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm going to try something else. This Christianity thing just doesn't work for me. And then you go to Hinduism, you go to Buddhists, you go to, you know, Buddhism, you go to whatever, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, you try to find, you know, go up on the mountains of Tibet and get in the lotus position and contemplate a word. I don't know. You can do that if you want, but you're going to come back empty. You can come to Christ and it's one-stop shopping. Because he's the only one who has secured you. He's the only one who paid the price. He's the only one who can heal you. He is Jehovah Rapha. The one who spoke all things can say, I will be healed. Or he may say, I love you, but I'm going to allow you to go through this. Paul, I'm going to allow you, even though you've pleaded with me three times to remove this malady from you, there's reasons I'm not going to do this, Paul. I'm going to be with you in it. I'm going to be with you through it, just like he was those three lads in the fiery furnace. Who was with them in the fiery furnace? It was Jesus. He was in there with them. He was in there through the whole thing. In fact, when Nebuchadnezzar had men go in, they were even consumed by the flames trying to get them out of the fire or to beckon them to come out. But they were fine just to be in there as long as Christ was with them. And you may be going through a fire. You may be going through a challenge. And the Lord is going to be with you as well. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let's stand and let's pray. The way that you have... Thank you for, Lord, even the difficult things that have ground us to powder at times. Lord, we pray for your healing. Lord, I pray for everyone here in our fellowship, Lord, that's struggling. Whether it's just a cold, whether it's some kind of disease, or whether it's cancer, whether it's terminal, whether it's not, Lord, would you please touch, Lord, and according to your will and plan for our lives, Lord, would you heal according to your will. And Lord, I pray that you would heal my brothers and sisters, heal our thinking, heal our minds from the damage that we've got in the world. And Lord, help us replace those damaged thoughts, those damaged things with your word. Lord, to read your word and to understand, Lord, your nature, your character. Lord, isn't that our greatest privilege, Lord, to read your word and to learn more of you? To learn more of your character, that you are a good God. You're not angry and bitter and just wanting to smack us around, Lord. You're very different from the world. And so, Lord, heal my brothers and sisters. Heal myself today. Heal my wife, my daughter, all of our sons and daughters, all of our families, us. We ask it in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.